pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Andrew was just saying to you, in a week's time we will be celebrating Advent, and the prayers and the music, the hymns and the readings will all be voicing the great Advent prayer that the Christ will come to us. We know we're incomplete, we know we're in need of repair, so come, we pray, come to us and save us from ourselves. And the words trip off our tongues. All through Advent, we pray that Christ will come and that he won't delay. But is this what we want, really? I remember the day I heard the Catholic priest, Father Jerry Hughes, the author of the excellent God of Surprises, imagining a situation that goes something like this. Imagine that one day Jesus did come, came to your house, ringing the doorbell. You're delighted to see him. You let him in, you offer him a glass of wine and dinner. If in Cambridge, probably a little port. You phone up your friends, tell them the amazing news. You tell the local vicar, you call the chaplain, who then lets the bishop know, and they invite him to meet the general synod. Jesus asks to stay with you, and you're thrilled. But then he starts bringing back people with him who look a bit dubious and tatty, the sort that your neighborhood doesn't really take too much. He was always being criticized for being in the wrong company, and you begin to see why. He lets these people stay for a while, gives them things, listens to them endlessly, laughs with them, doesn't seem to see in them what you can see. Maybe he's just a bit naive. So after a couple of months, the neighbors are beginning to complain about the situation and house prices falling, not wanting prostitutes and ghastly bankers and fraudulent politicians and illegal foreigners coming to see this so-called friend. The press has turned up in the street because of the things he's saying, upsetting church and government and lawyers and academics, anyone with a little bit of influence. So, you give a bit of thought. There's a very nice little room under the stairs that could be done up with expensive wallpaper and some nice thick carpet. And you can put Jesus in there. It would stop him using the rest of the place, spending time with his weirdo friends, and you could put him in the room and perhaps lock it so he's kept safe. But of course, you would ensure that there were always, always fresh flowers placed outside his door, and you might stream some music or put the radio on so he can keep up to date with the news. And you would even burn a candle so everyone who comes knows he's in there. And Canon Oakley, the dean, recommended that you should bow very profoundly every time you walk by the room. Yes, he'll be happy in there, and so will we. It'll be much better. In fact, we could even put a sign up over the door that says Christ the King. How long will he have to stay in that little tomb before his love forces itself out again? We are daring in this chapel next week to pray that Christ will come to us, to our lives. And is that what we want? If so, John the Baptist was probably right. We'd better brace ourselves. Aesthetics were never enough for Jesus. He embraced untidy life, wanted relationships and justice and compassion, mercy, kindness, to be more beautiful than anything that pointed to him. So time to sweep out the stable and work out what must change. If when he comes, it's going to work out. Because if this is to be our king, he's not there as our example of power, praised but contained. He is instead to be the power of example for us, there to be lived out, risen, if you like, in our lives and priorities and in the way we relate to each other. His kingdom lies deep within the human heart. And if it comes, it comes like rain to parched earth. If we're serious about it and ready, ready to ask, whose life am I actually living at the moment anyway? And then patiently orientating it out of ourselves, ready at last to meet Christ as he comes in the next person you meet. Come, Lord Jesus, like that rain to our parched